Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here, lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long. Ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want 2 tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios, exclusively for our 12-pack Case Club members. We love you guys.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Thank you, Drewski. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. I want to thank TrueCar.com, LifeLock.com, code Adam, and you can try VitalLife.co/ADS. It is .co?
That is a typo.
That's right, .com. Thank you. Go ahead, Drewski.
So before I get to the buying and spending and then cultures and different and this Netflix outtake I want to air for you, I want to finish up my thought about that Edith Hall virtue ethicist who I'm interviewing this week in the Dr. Drew podcast. She's a British woman, and she heard about all the immigration mishigas here in this country, and she came into O'Hare from London, and she thought, oh, God, here I go through immigration. She walks up to the immigration guy, and she was expecting, you know, given our craziness, she thought, this is going to be just a terrible hassle. I'm going to get shaken down. And the guy goes, why are you here? She goes, oh, I'm a British professor. I'm here to give his lecture on Aristotle and virtue ethics. And he goes, she said she was looking at her passport going, you know, I really think Plato's allegory of the cave is not nearly as useful as Aristotelian naturalism. Mm-hmm. And she goes, where did you learn that? And he goes, podcasting.
Yeah. Podcasting. I'd heard this story somewhere.
Yeah, maybe I told you last week.
I don't know. I may have heard it somewhere else, or I may have heard it from Drew, but go ahead.
They bring it up to say that podcast has the potential to save the world. Because if we all do listen to smart podcasts and listen to smart people and learn and expand our horizons, we won't be so prone to the craziness we're all deep in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a potential to help things.
Thank you.
All right, so there's that. So the other thing is I want to air for you this buying and spending thing. We were talking yesterday about different cultures and different family systems and different ethnicities and how they have different sort of habits or ways of dealing with money. And money, let's face it, money is just a symbol of exchange, right? It's an exchange unit. It doesn't really exist. It's something that we imbue as human beings with a certain amount of meaning. And some people are raised in such a way that they know how to use and save and build. Other people only see money as – well, some people see it as dangerous. Some people see it as something to be spent immediately and to build a status with. It's all very much affected by how we grew up.
Can I make this statement, Drew?
Yes.
We do, especially if you listen to Ocasio-Cortez, we do a lot of personality grafting onto money or these rich, evil white guys.
Sure.
Or what is this guy or who's he or why? I don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You have a product. You sell it. What's the difference? You know, if you sell window blinds or cheeseburgers, you sell your first one. Somebody wanted one of your window blinds or one of your cheeseburgers, or you sell your 1 millionth.
Mm-hmm.
They still just wanted your cheeseburger and your window blind. Mm-hmm. Why is the millionth inherently evil?
Right.
Now it's just a window blind or cheeseburger, right. But we have to do that with everything, and it's like we do it with guns. We don't, oh, this is bad, or that guy's bad, or this is, we need to do this. The gun is just kind of the gun. It's right. Responsibly used and respected, and you grow up, you know, there's people who grow up around the responsible use of a gun and a firearm, and those people would never carry one in their sweatpants and walk, go to a club with one or something like that. But it's not the gun that's bad or good or the money that's bad or good. It's like you either grow up in an environment where people teach you evil things can be done with money. Money can inspire people to do evil things. Guns can be evil things can be do with guns. Guns can inspire people to use it for evil. But it's not the actual dollar or the gun. It's sort of how it's used and what your knowledge is of it and how you grew up with it
When it comes to money, there's a judgmentalism. And interestingly, we live in a world where people are not supposed to be judgmental, and yet we've just become judgmental on a whole different array of things.
No, but we say gun nut all the time. Right. Like that's we're being judgmental.
Don't judge people's sexual, don't judge. Now we judge a lot of stuff. We just judge different things. And one of the things that is being judged is people that accumulate capital, as though the process or the desire to accumulate is evil, right? So I think that's what they point at. It's like, no, you should distribute that. Just send that away. You don't need that. Why do you need that? Remember President Obama's rhetoric on that.
Well, what the problem is, well, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You start by setting the table. You're not serving the meal yet, but you're setting the table. And the setting of the table is the inequity in the wealth distribution. What they're saying is there's a pile of money and some people are really helping themselves.
It's a zero-sum game. Somebody has some, somebody doesn't have
some. Here's what Ocasio-Cortez, here's the table she's setting. The table she's setting is we're all on a lifeboat.
Right, it's a zero-sum.
And please let me.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He said zero-sum 30 seconds ago.
Go ahead.
All right, if I'm explaining what I'm saying, you don't have to go, yeah, get it, cut. We're on a lifeboat. There's provisions on the lifeboat, and some people have helped themselves to not only provisions for them and their family, but enough for 1,000 families. And they're going to sit there and laugh and eat it, and other people are going to go hungry. That's how she has set the table. And with that, if that's the way you're going to set the table, then you're 100% right. So the notion is buy into this falsehood. And then once you buy into this setting of the table, now it's time for me to bring out the meal. And I'm really got you. I got you hooked. But I don't buy that part. And many people do because you just keep repeating it. And of course, the people that are in the lifeboat that are hungry are like, yeah, I'm starving. What's going on? And they start buying into it.
Right.
The people in the lifeboat who do have a big pile of food went out and created, they went through their line in the water and fished their own food out of the sea. And many of them then distributed 40% of that food back to the lifeboat. And then you look at that guy and you go, yeah, but it should be 70. Really? Because there's a couple at the end that never fished. That's the way I look at it. Thank you.
And so one of the keys to the fishing is the sort of building, you know, more poles or however you keep the fishing metaphor going, and being able to sort of grow, which is part of the capitalism thing. And that's required for that is the accumulation of a certain amount of wealth or of money. And so I noticed on this Netflix series called Trigger Warnings.
Correct. With Killer Mike is the full title.
Right. And Killer Mike goes around and asks a lot of questions that he thinks other people are not asking that should be asked. And one of the things he asked about is his culture and how they spend or hold on to money.
Killer Mike is black.
Yeah. And so here is the idea of in his view, and I only saw it once and I thought, ooh, you'd like to talk about this. So I don't exactly remember exactly how it went, so let's play it.
So the idea is every single thing that you're going to use, eat, consume is going to be black owned.
I think that the black community can do a better job of keeping a dollar in our ecosystem longer.
Studies have shown that in America, the Asian community can keep a dollar 28 days before they release it out. They've shown that Jewish and white communities keep a dollar 21 and 23 days. And for the African American community, 6 hours.
Have you ever heard of anybody trying to do this before?
Well,
so that's the data. That's the data that the most shocking part is that the average Caucasian keeps the dollar longer than the Jewish folks. That was the shocking piece there.
Wait, was that the same or longer?
Longer. So play it again. Play the, or show the data. Just show the graph. Show
the Asians have it at 26.
Yeah. The Jewish were 21 and the white.
Our grandparents here.
White folk was 23, I think it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're higher than the Jews.
I was shocked. They must see. Look.
Wow. They keep it at 21. We keep it at 23.
You know who's very good at keeping money is Hispanic. So I wonder if Hispanic is in there with white. Hispanic tends to keep stuff in a family. A friend of mine is a banker, and he said their best risk patient, the clients, were the Hispanics.
Well, the Hispanics that I know, it is in the family. I mean, they start showing up with their kids. They're working. Yeah. You know, everybody's
in the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bet that's in that white block there. Mm-hmm. But there, look, this is interesting, isn't it? How people – it's just sort of a metaphor for what we've been talking about and how different it is if you come from different cultures, different ethnicities, and something we don't talk about.
Well, not as a society. I mean, we talk about it. But I mean, 6 hours versus 28, 29 days with the Asians, that's insane. Now, look, most people probably say, well, look, if you were living paycheck to paycheck and you're just to keep the lights on, like many black families, then you would spend that money immediately. And if you had more money socked away, then you wouldn't spend that money immediately. And I don't know exactly how it works and how it stays in the community. How does it give me a definition, Drew,
their money outside of their own group.
Well, so hold on a second.
I'm not sure. You know, it'd be nice to know how they arrived at this. Do you know, Gary?
To the best of my understanding from watching this episode, it's spending the money in businesses that are owned by the same community.
So you could argue that, you know, there's not enough opportunity for them to keep it in their community, right? Which was part of his argument, right?
Well, kind of his argument is that, you know, there is no way to buy a black-made car. Yeah.
The Jewish community, I guess, you tell me, if Jews are, let's say, attorneys, doctors, showbiz industries, you know, those white collar jobs, that's not owns the green grocer on the corner, right?
Right.
That's why I'm not surprised with the Jews, because you just go, can't,
the savings is embedded in this data, right? Because you can save and spend, and if you spend, when does it leave the community? There's both.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I want to talk about something first. I want to talk about Vitalife. We've all heard about CBD. It's part of the cannabis plant. You can enjoy the benefits of cannabis without the rewarding effects, the high. Vitalife, full-spectrum CBD can help with pain management, stress, anxiety, even help you get a better night's sleep for some people. These are not yet established or substantiated in medical science, but there are lots of great anecdotal reports that have been made out there. And a lot of people really will have shown benefit from this. It's conveniently delivered to your home. Vitalife CBD oil can be taken directly into your tongue or mixed with morning juice or coffee. Made with a high-quality CBD, vegan, sugar-free, gluten-free, alcohol-free. You can feel better without a hangover, high, or addiction. It appears to be safe for people with addictive history, though this too has not been properly studied. But again, the anecdotes are there. No prescription needed. It ships to all 50 states. Full money-back guarantee. If you don't love it, you don't pay for it. Right, Matt?
That's right. If you're interested in learning more and want $25 off your first order, visit tryvitalife.com/ADS. That's tryvitalife.com/ADS for $25 off your first order. That's a huge savings, and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout at tryvitalife.com/ADS. Feel your best every day with Vitalife. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, this I'm not sure we have honest conversations about. I mean, we seem like back in the day, people used to talk more about how to manage money. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, coming from the family that never had the conversation and growing up with groups of guys whose family never had the conversation, the greatest privilege is not the color of your skin, and it's not your gender, and it's not your sexual proclivities or any of that. It's coming from a group that has a discussion, coming from a family, I should say, where you have discussions about money and about work. Mm. Like when people, I talk to people, it's like, my dad worked hard and my dad told me you work hard and you'll never do without and blah, 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 blah. Work and conversations about money. I had never had a conversation with money with anyone in my family, and I had no idea what to do with it, how to do with it. You feel like you are living in a foreign culture as a sort of gypsy, just sort of wandering around. Like you got the part where, hey, I put in a day working on your ranch and you give me $80 and now I can eat. Like you got that part, like a real basic, real, you know, stuff that's a few hundred years old version of money for interest, compounded interest, you know, loans.
Checking accounts.
These things, savings accounts, these notions of any of this, never discussed. And I get it. It's here's what it is.
I never had 1,000 conversations about working at my dad's grocery store at 4 a.m, walking through the snow.
Your dad?
Yes. 1,000 conversations about catastrophe tomorrow. He's going to be in the poorhouse. 1,000 conversations by the time I was 2.
It's such a weird. My dad, I was thinking about you because I was in Connecticut playing Foxwoods Casino, and Matt sent me a text like, hey, your dad needs to talk to you. He needs to talk to you immediately.
Needs a new car?
Your voice was ringing my ear that a couple days earlier saying, hey, your dad's getting old. I mean, he's going to need stuff. You're going to take care of him. And I was like, oh, something bad, something tragic, something. Mm-hmm. So before I went out on stage, I was literally in my suite, like getting ready to go out on stage. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with my dad. Did he slip? Did he injure himself? Is there an issue? Is he in the hospital? And there's a part of me that was like, I just want to go down the elevator and go to the Indian casino and do my damn show. And then there's another part of me that's like, I better call him before I go out on stage because I don't want to be thinking. I don't know. Like, uh-huh. Where is he? What's he doing? Yeah, so I called him and he just picked up the phone and he's like, hey, oh, Adam, how you doing? I said, yeah, hey, Dad, I'm in Connecticut. I'm at an Indian casino. I was like, oh, okay. Listen, I can't drive. I said, okay. How? I go to church in the morning. I said, okay. What do you think would be a good way to get me to church?
Oh, my God.
I said, I don't know. How far is church? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I said, well, like maybe a golf cart or something? You think a golf cart would be good? I said, maybe.
If church is in.
I don't know. I don't know how far. Driveway. I don't know how far church is. Is it? Maybe you could drive. I don't know. Like where you are, like where I live, people occasionally drive around in a golf cart. Like I've seen that before. You could maybe drive a golf cart. That's a good idea. I said, yeah, but I don't know. It's the best idea. Maybe one of those little motorized scootery lark things you could drive on the sidewalk, but I don't know where the church is. How far do you think it is? I don't know. Well, go have Lynn, every one of my conversations, either tell Olga or have Lynn, have her get on her phone and on a computer and like put your address in and like put the churches. And then, you know, is it 1.3 miles or is it 0.7 miles? You know, find out and then we can find out what might be good to get you there and back. Okay. Okay. All right. To do that, I'll call you later. All right. Hung up the phone. And I thought, he literally has no, like, it's not about money. Like, he doesn't know what to do with anything. His impulse is find someone. Look, he's basically, here's what it is. That kid's got money.
Yeah.
I need to get to this place. This thing could cost $2,000. I'm just going to call him and tell him to fix it. That's his sort of coping.
Yeah.
Now you go, oh, he's old. But no, it has been that way his whole life. So that we didn't have any, there were no discussions on money. His mode is like, go find, I don't know, go marry someone who's got something and let him carry you to church.
Was he asking for Uber money?
No, he wasn't asking for Uber money.
Did this resolve?
No, it didn't.
Did you find out how far the church was?
I did not. Not yet. It's always funny when people, Matt and I have had this conversation a time or two, when he goes like, you want to drop the car off or take the shuttle or whatever? And I always go, you got to find out if it's a hotel at the airport or is it further? Like, I need info or I can't get these. I cannot give you an answer to this question unless you do this and then I'll give you an answer. My dad says, nope. By the way, you know the thing that's crazy about my dad? My dad probably goes to this church every single morning.
Oh, he goes to church every day?
Yeah. He goes every day.
What kind of church?
Square.
I mean, what's the shape? I mean, every day?
Every day.
Catholic?
I don't know.
Has he always done that?
No.
When did that start?
I'll explain in a second.
All right.
And what I'm saying is I can tell you, I could give you a real good idea of how far the Mexican food restaurant was from my house. Sure. Simply because I've been there.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know why. Like, his answer is, I have no idea. Like, it's like, well, do you have to get on a freeway? Because if you have to get on a freeway, then there's no going to be no golf carts going to work. But if you can just kind of take the side streets. It's a weird, I don't know why my mom and my dad share that same gene of no information for you. You know, when you go like, how long is so-and-so or how far away? They go, oh, I don't know. Yeah,
forget it.
I think it's just a way of tapping out of, it's a way of getting out of every conversation. You know, there's people go, well, how far do you think? I don't know. Well, how far do you think? I couldn't tell. Mm. Well, but approximately, I don't. It's like, I don't, what do you mean you don't? How do you go back and forth? You are uniquely qualified to answer this question because no one on the planet goes to this church and
every day
lives in your house. There's only really one person on the planet who's qualified to answer. I know perhaps if a neighbor went, they could estimate, but you know what I mean? Like, yes. You would know better than anybody. Why? I have no idea. Oh, you want to talk about finances? The finance, you're talking about certain cultures, certain families, certain whatevers. My last conversation is, you know, he's going, well, I'm thinking about moving in the retirement home. I don't know if I can afford it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, how much you make a month? Everything, Social Security, whatever, pension, whatever, just all in. What do you make a month? What's the retirement home cost a month? What's your nut on this house? Or are you going to sell this house? Or what do you owe on this house? Or what do you think you could sell this house for versus what do you owe on it? And it was one big, oh, the thing that's crazy is, okay, yeah, no, that's a good idea. So I should take the amount we make and then take the amount it costs per month to live at Shady Acres, right? Okay. And then we should times 12, you know, 12 months, right? And then you could bridge the gap between, you know, what we're coming up short every month and what Shady Acres costs and then what we make with pension. But and I'm saying the same thing, which is I will bridge that gap, but I don't know what that gap is because you don't know what per month versus this. And it's like, okay, that's a good idea. I'll find that out.
Wow.
The thing that was crazy is these were new notions. These were
novel ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I swear to you, my dad and my stepmom were saying, that's a good idea. That's a smart idea. So we should find out what we make a month, and we should find out what the retirement is, and then what was the other one? Oh, what the house is worth. And what these were new, novel notions. Not with dumb people, just people have no interest in mind. Now, obviously, if those people are raising you, they're not going to pass along much of anything, right?
No.
They want to talk about it themselves.
Not if they're finally talking about it in 93.
The only reason there's a discussion about it is because I'm needed to bridge this gap.
I get it. And did they understand there was a gap?
Oh, that's why I'm in the room.
But
they're only talking to me about it because there's a gap.
I just wonder if they just expected you just to pay the fare at the retirement home.
I don't know. Yeah. Let me talk about LifeLock. Tax season. Well, not for my dad. Scammers are back. Oh, never give your tax documents to prepare until you've verified their credibility. File early. Watch out for emails impersonating the IRS. Look, they're trying to rip you off. They're cyber criminals. This is the day and age we're living in. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against the threats that you may not see or easily fix on your own, especially on your personal devices. If there is a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you're smart, you listen to me, and you get LifeLock. Right, Drew?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM for 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
As my mom once, like, when I had money, I didn't need any money. I just said, "What's stepdad John? What's he making a year?" "Oh, I don't know." Ballpark. I don't know. Making 60 grand a year, you're making 100 grand a year. It's, you know, just about. He's been working same place for 25 years. You've been with him for 20 years. What are you talking about? What are we talking about here? Oh, I wouldn't know.
I wonder if you asked her.
She was looking at me like I was asking him, like I was saying, I was asking, was his mother, great-grandmother on his mom's side, a Pisces or Virgo? I was asking the person she'd been married to for 25 years, ballpark, what's his income? I couldn't tell you.
I wonder if you asked her what his benefits were, if she'd be more focused on that and would have known that. It's an interesting kind of—
Probably. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that's where I come from in terms of the— financial tutelage department. It's like living with E.F. Hutton.
Jamie
those
Diamond.
Guys don't get that
Jamie
joke.
Diamond was
they
your dad.
They don't get that. They don't get the E.F. Hutton joke. They're too young. The kids don't get Gary. I'm disappointed in you, Matt. Yeah, Matt's Matt. We like having him around.
I resemble that remark.
You got to look up E.F. Hutton. He was a whole. Firm. There's a whole commercial. You got to find one of those E.F. Hutton commercials, like from the 70s or the 80s. Oh, boy. Now you guys are going to marvel at this reference. You're going to marvel.
You'll never regret the purchase of a good stock. You don't say. Yeah, my broker says it's a real good buy. What does your broker say?
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And Hutton says.
Everybody in the room leans in. Busy restaurant now silent.
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
That's right. When J.C. Carolla talks, now you get that reference is dead nuts on.
Damn straight.
In the that's super sarcastic department, right?
That's A plus.
It was A plus.
Can I ask you a question that maybe we can get into a little deeper tomorrow's show?
Uh-huh.
News is breaking that Crank Anchors is back.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is it a...
like an updated Kimmel, Kellison, Adam, John Kimmel. Like, they're going to update it for the current, you know, with social media and streaming stuff. But they're reviving it. Whole new version. 20 episodes, it says, have been ordered.
All right.
Yeah, congratulations.
Man. Thank you.
That's awesome. As a fan of that show, I was excited.
Adam figures out most news, I think.
No. I was aware of it.
Another hip-hop version.
I was just told not to talk about it, so then I was like, all right, done and done. I'm I'm not the best, but when someone goes, hey, here's something, don't say anything, I go, okay. I forget it. So I knew about it some time ago, but I didn't say anything. But I was just about to, I was about to tell Matt to send a baby doll an email going, when are we getting paid? I mean, as an artist.
Of course.
Who doesn't care about money.
All right. Can't put a price on your car stories, but with True Car, you can find out what your car is worth, when it is time to sell or trade it in. Just go to True Car, enter your plate number, and your car's details pop right up, then answer a few questions. And once you are finished, you get that true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local True Car certified dealer to either cash out or trade in. And if trade in is your fancy, then go to True Car, look at the scattergram for the car you want, lock in that price, and you're locked in for a vehicle on that True Car certified dealer's lot. And, of course, that price, it's an educated price because you've seen what other people are paying for that car. Also, it's the actual true price, including fees and accessories, because True Car offers you the true price. So get that true cash offer sent in minutes. Head to a local True Car certified dealer, cash out or trade in. When you are ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car. True cash offers may not be available in all areas, but we bet you don't live in those areas.
All right. We'll tell you more about Crank Yankers on tomorrow's show. And got a few questions up there we'll answer as well. You can go to adamcarolla.com and check out /events and check out when my stand-up special is coming to a city near you. And you can check into the cruise and check out the Podcast One app and all that. Drew, what do you got?
Go to Dr. Drew.com. Dr. Drew After Dark, new podcast. Check that one out. You will like it. And also Edith Hall on the Dr. Drew podcast.
And you can check out Corolla Classics on Podcast One, coming up on 10 years of podcasting. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.